I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. Tom Brady will soon be a free agent, which seems to be of interest to various NFL fans around the country.
Las Vegas would love to have you here at the Raiders.
Would you want him to come to L.A. and play for the Rams?
We need you, Tom. Don't leave us with a massive hole to fill. Brady, come back!
And that's where we'll start this week. I'm joined by Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo Sports. Welcome back, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
And by Will Leach, contributing editor to New York Magazine. Welcome back, Will.
An honor as always, Karen.
I think this goes without saying, but I am super excited to have you both back, but I will not sing about it, okay?
Are you sure?
We'll see. We got a lot of time left to go on this show.
We are about 10 days away from the day Patriots fans have been dreading since Tom Brady took over as a starter in 2001. And add to the drama the speculation that arose this week that Brady could end up in San Francisco playing for his childhood team, the 49ers. And New England fans are really, really losing their minds. I mean, it's hard to imagine Tom and Giselle agreeing to live in Tennessee, but San Francisco. On the other hand, I have friends who are Raiders fans in particular. And they're wringing their hands over the idea that Brady could end up there. They're actually questioning whether they could keep cheering for their team if the dreaded Tom Brady was at the helm. From an entertainment point of view, this is all a whole lot of fun. But from the point of view of a Patriots fan, I'm not liking it, not a single little bit. Hannah, please tell me this is all going to be okay.
I wish I could, because and not just because I like you a lot, Karen.
Thank you.
But because one of my least favorite things ever is free agent speculation. Mm. You're always being manipulated. Like, right. If someone leaks to you that he's thinking about coming somewhere. And my favorite thing, on the flip side, is career team players. And maybe people who understand football can explain this better to me. Why doesn't he just retire? Why doesn't he go out on top as a career Patriot?
Will, do you want to give it a try?
Listen, sources say that Hannah is totally right about this free agent speculation.
Yes.
Sort of business. Several sources, unnamed, but close to the situation. For me, you know, there's two things on this. One, I like the idea of Brady going to Vegas because it's really every middle-aged man eventually gets there, right? Like, that's like it's a matter of time. Think of it just almost as retiring in the West. And two, to me, the best part about this is, and the thing that worries me, honestly, Karen, the most,
yeah,
is I'm a little concerned that this kind of speculation and worry is going to cause Boston sports fans to act erratically.
Okay, Hannah, you've been forced to follow a different sports obsession. Please fill us in.
Okay, so I have just gotten back from spring training. I finished my Florida stint, which, if you can believe it, was spent almost exclusively in West Palm Beach, which is where the Astros play, because that is the story that will not die. And as this story has sort of become increasingly complicated, I've noticed that there are a couple of points on which people don't, I don't want to say they're getting it wrong, but it just sort of seems like there are some hang-ups. So I want to address a couple of them very quickly. I'll talk fast. Something I'm seeing a lot, people saying that Manfred should punish the players. There has been like public outrage that the Astros all got off scot-free. Rob Manfred himself called the banging scheme player-driven, although I'm sure the PA would like us all to stop reminding people of that. And in doing so, it made a lot of fans feel like any sort of sanctions were incomplete if they didn't include the players. But in that initial memo that Manfred put out about the investigation, he explained that it would both be unnecessary and complicated and likely unsuccessful if they tried to punish the players because the union would grieve each suspension, and there would end up being basically 25 different investigations, and that's too much. But perhaps even more important to point out, they couldn't punish the players. After the whole Apple Watch thing with the Red Sox in 2017, Manfred put out a statement basically saying that they were going to hold front offices accountable for any teams cheating. So it's not like a moral thing. They are probably going to make it possible to punish players in the future, which pretty much just means that next time players cheat and they get punished, we will once again have people angry about the fact that the Astros weren't punished. So Sorry, that was a lot of information at once, that was only point one. Let's stop there for now, and I'll let somebody else talk.
Will, what do you make of this?
Well, you know, welcome back from Swing Training, Hannah. I've been reading a lot of your coverage over there, living vicariously. And my favorite piece that you wrote was this piece interviewing a bunch of Astros fans. And I love this because there is something kind of wonderful about, you ask these first two or three questions of them, and they're all like, yep, it was cheating, and I'm disappointed. And then you ask them the logical question, okay, so are you going to stop rooting for the cheating cheaters who cheated? And they're like, what are you, insane? Of course not. I'm going to root harder. And there's something very deeply American and sports fandom-y about that kind of idea that, like, I will cheer harder for them and circle the wagons and love them more than I ever have.
I mean, maybe it shouldn't be surprising that I related to that as a Patriots fan. I'm a little bit used to people accusing my team of cheating. But Hannah, what surprised me in reading what you've been writing from Florida is that I really found myself feeling for Josh Reddick and the others Astros whose families are actually facing death threats over all of this. I mean, yes, it's absolutely wrong to steal signs, but that's absolutely not justification for telling a father that you hope his five-year-old son gets cancer.
Five months.
Oh,
I mean, yeah,
don't
hope five-year-olds get cancer. This gets to one of the other points that I wanted to clarify, which is I'm seeing a lot of like, well, if only they would apologize. And here's the thing. You do not have to accept their apology, but they have apologized.
Right.
Like, I just want to disabuse listeners of the notion that you will feel better if the Astros apologize. You won't. And maybe it's because you don't believe that they're sorry. And if that's your stance, by all means. But I have talked to them. I listened to Josh Reddick tell us about the death threats. And even before that, like, they did say that they understand that they cheated and that they are sorry.
All right, Will, you're up.
I'm a graduate of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Go Illini. This week, students at my school voted on the belted kingfisher, a bird that is orange and blue, the school colors, that is native to the state of Illinois, and the students are voting whether or not it's going to be the new mascot. But there's been a massive amount of resistance to this pure, cute, very sweet little bird. And the reason is because the University of Illinois in 2007 got rid of their former mascot, Chief Illiniwek. Now, as you can probably tell from the name of Chief Illiniwek, Chief Illiniwek was one of those ugly Native American offshoot mascots. I can tell you, as someone that covered the Illinois basketball team when I was there, Chief Illiniwek was usually portrayed by a blonde-haired, blue-eyed frat guy named Chad. And Chad was always whooping it up and doing this very, very ugly dance at halftime. And eventually, Illinois, under pressure of the NCAA, got rid of the mascot. As professional teams and universities have gotten rid of these offensive mascots, you've actually found a certain segment of the fan base, usually older, usually whiter, that is not only fighting back against that, they're actually claiming that part of their heritage has been taken away. The Atlanta Braves, they've encouraged the chop, even during the playoffs last year, when Ryan Helsley, a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, who is of Cherokee Nation, said that he'd found it offensive. They said they would not do it for that game. But then, after the Cardinals won that game, Georgia lawmakers from the GOP actually said it was karma that the Braves lost because they'd gotten rid of the chop that game. And by all accounts, the chop will be coming back for 2020.
Hannah, what do you make of this?
The All-Star game last year was in Cleveland Indians. That same year, conveniently, the Indians stopped selling merch with Chief Wahoo on it. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really striking how hard it was to tell that that had happened. And this is interesting with the Braves and with the way that they sort of accepted that if someone who was actually of Cherokee descent was bothered by it, then they were like, well, yeah, of course, we won't play it while you're there, which is in some ways the worst possible response because it makes it seem like he's a sensitive baby for taking issue with it, and they're kind of like snickering behind his back. It feels a little bit like that, and it feels like fans are kind of doing that. We're already getting backlash to backlash in the fact that people are like, ugh, can you believe we had to not do it for one game? That makes me want to do it even more.
I mean, it does sometimes feel like we're going backwards here. And we've been following a story not far from here in Killingly, Connecticut. Last summer, the school board voted to remove the Red Men as the school's mascot. And residents were so upset about this that they voted in a bunch of new school board members. They voted in a new school board, and the new school board voted to bring back the Red Men.
Listen, I grew up an Illinois basketball fan. I remember watching the Chief when I was 8 and perhaps, I will say that at 8 years old in rural Illinois, I was not particularly woke. I loved the chief. I thought the chief was great. Then you get older and you learn and you meet the guy named Chad who's like, what's up, bro? I'm the chief. I'm like, oh, I hate the chief now. To me, that's part of the process of growing up and learning how the world is larger than what you realize it is. I find it telling, however, that particularly at Illinois and a lot of these schools, students just want to move on. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see these people with the chief shirts. It's the older people that are ruining everything.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo Sports and Will Leach, contributing editor to New York Magazine. Thanks to both of you.
Of course.
Thank you. Fun as always.